Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim God's salvation day after day. Declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvels to every people. The Lord is great, most worthy of praise. God is to be revered above all gods. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 25. Good morning. Welcome to College Mennonite Church. We are here to worship our Creator God, who has given us very much beauty that we see all around us. Beauty in nature, beauty in friendship, and beauty in creativity. So in our worship today, we give the best of this back to God in our singing, in our offering, and in what we are inspired to do as a result of this time of worship. So in all the ways that you are joining us this morning, whether here or listening or watching somewhere else, may you be overwhelmed with God's presence and inspired to follow God in both the extraordinary and in the mundane times of life. I invite you to take your bulletins and join with me the call to worship that is printed there on the front. Seek God, and you will live. Busca a Dios y vivirás. Seek the one who makes the seven stars and Orion, who turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark with night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. Dios es su nombre. I invite you to take your blue hymnals, and please stand if you are so led, and turn to number 50 as we sing together. Praise the Lord, sing Alleluia.
Thank you. In the same book, number 47, Earth and All Stars. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and Jeffrey is going to lead us with the organ.
Invited, join me in a time of prayer. God of all, we have experienced many things in this past week: joy, apprehension, gratitude, fear, death, and new beginnings. And none of our experiences, whether great or small, are beyond your care and your ability to respond and to work through. We come to you in prayer, not because of the greatness of our needs, but because of how great you are. Be the source of comfort for Diana Welsh and her family as they grieve the death of her brother, Scott Weldy. Be the source of healing and strength for those who struggle with new and recurring health issues. We especially pray for Eric Torres Mendez, who broke his leg. Give the doctors wisdom as they explore the best course of treatment tomorrow. And give Eric patience in this healing process to come. God, as humans, we struggle with finding the best ways to live together in peace and in harmony. There's violence within communities and violence between countries. Help all leaders to look for collaboration and calmness more than power and prestige. God, we know that you provide what we need. There are some in our community and in our world in great need of affordable and secure and safe housing. We ask for new opportunities to open up so that those who need it can find a place to call their own. God, we are grateful for the ways that you have led us as a congregation into new forms of ministry and into more ways of sharing your love with all people in our community. Today, we are grateful that we can have an opportunity to worship you in Spanish. May the Spanish worship service be another bridge into our community and another opportunity for us to cross barriers and become a church that is a fusion of the diversity that is represented in Goshen. God, each day is a gift from you. So today, on this Sabbath, we thank you for this opportunity to rest in you. May we find times to rejoice and to relax into your presence this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this next song, children, you are invited to come forward for the children's time. So the words for this next song will be on the screen. So let's sing together, Yo Tengo Gozo.
Question. What is God? Can you describe God?
Yeah.
Very powerful. Malachi, can you write power? Zeph's going to tape it on this thing we're making here. Okay. How else can you describe God? Yeah. Good. Right? Goodness. Yes, Miles. Invisible, yeah, how can we say that? Mystery, let's say mystery. God is mystery. Mystery, yeah, the noun, buddy. All right, what else? Yeah, caring, yeah. I'm gonna write this one. God is compassion. What else? Can you come up with some more? Thankful. Yeah, God is gratitude. Might be one. You got that one, Malachi? Gratitude. Miles, you have another one? God is confusing. Yeah, I think that is right on. I'm going to put that one with the God is mystery one. And yes, amen to that. There's a song that we sang, I think, last week. And it goes, God is... What is that? I think you just sang it, Ava. Yeah, love. I'm going to write that one over here, Malachi. God is love. Let's see. Any others? Yeah. Yes, God is loving. So we're going to put love up there. I think Jeff's going to tape it on in just a moment. Yeah.
God is grateful.
God is grateful. Yeah, we are grateful to God, aren't we? We're grateful to God because of all the things that God is. I wonder if, let's put one of the things that we're grateful to God for is for all that God has created. So how about if we put creator? Would that work? Creator? Yeah. God is big. Yes. I'm going to write that one over here. God is big. All right. There's another thing we talk about quite a... Oh, yes, Ellie, do you have one? God is great. Yes, God is greatness. I'm going to write that one here. Yeah. Well, this is a pretty good list. I'm sure it's not all of the words that we could put on here, but this is a good start. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of times when you would say a description of God, you would use one word and I would turn it into a noun. I don't know if you were noticing that. Those of you who have learned about nouns might have noticed that. So instead of saying, I guess big is a descriptive word, but God is mystery, right? That's because God is the source of these things. All of these things come from God because God is these things. And so Malachi and Zeph here, who've been helping me out, they are my sons, and I love them very, very much. And the love I have for them is big and powerful. The only reason I can love them is because God is love. That love I have for them comes from God. And if I love them that much, if God is the source of that love, God's love is bigger, bigger, way bigger than my love. God's where all of this stuff comes from. God's the source of it. I think that this is mind-blowing. I think this is confusing and mysterious. Did you know Moses in the Bible? Did you know that one time he asked God, what should I call you? What's your name? And you know what God answered? God said, I am.
I am.
What kind of a name is that? God is. You know what I hope for you?
I hope that God is always bigger than you can imagine. I hope that your whole life you continue to discover new words to put on something like this. And I hope that you never think you have it figured out. I hope that God is always mystery and that you keep seeking that mystery. I hope that you keep wondering at God. Okay, stand up. Make yourself as big as you possibly can. And I invite anyone else who wants to join us either in this part or in what we say to do so. We're going to say for our prayer a prayer of affirmation. And that means we just state something about God to God for our prayer. So this prayer is going to be, God, you are. Okay? And now, if we're saying that God is really, really big, how big should your voices be? Very big. Some of you might have what we call it in our house a stadium voice, which means a voice that can yell across a stadium. This would be the time to use that. Okay? And we would love for you all to join us. All right? Let's pray. Ready? God, you are. One more time, and let's see if we can make it bigger. Ready? God, you are. All right. You may get your worship bags and go back to your seats.
Our next song is number 24 in the Green Sing the Journey book.
Our preacher for this morning is Phil Waite, our pastoral team leader. Would you join me in a prayer of blessing? God of power and God of wonder, we thank you for your presence with Phil as he is prepared for this time. Anoint his tongue with your words. Anoint our ears and hearts and minds to hear you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 96, And I'm going to be reading through verse 9. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him all the earth. The word of the Lord. Whenever I'm in Washington, D.C., the one place that I have to visit is the Lincoln Memorial. How many of you have been to the Lincoln Memorial? And so many of you have been to the Lincoln Memorial. It is, I'm intrigued. I'm having a really hard time with my, getting my microphone comfortable today. So I apologize for that. You can see that and I can see that, so I just want to name that up front. I like the Lincoln Memorial for several reasons. One is its place in our national history. It evokes memories of the civil rights movement and the struggle to end slavery in our country. And on the walls of the Lincoln Memorial, if you go inside, there are words there. Anybody know, history people, Theron? What words are on the walls? What's quoted there? Quotes from Lincoln. You know, Theron? The second inaugural address. So given just weeks, months before he was killed. And in the second inaugural address, Lincoln offers us some theology. And that theology is to name the sin of slavery as a blight upon our nation, and to suggest that maybe the Civil War, which was still going on at the time, it had not finished, not quite yet, the Civil War was an atonement, if you will, atoning suffering for the sins of the nation, and that it would not be until the sin of slavery was fully atoned that the war would come to an end, even suggesting that in his words. Now, that theology is not particularly theology I might agree with in that understanding of God, but it's not the sort of language that could be used today by a politician to suggest that our nation is so sinful that God's punishment is inflicted upon us in the form of this terrible war. You couldn't say that today as a politician and get anywhere. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to confess the sins of our nation. So I have a great love and affection for the Lincoln Memorial. But I also want to point something out. The Lincoln Memorial has as its centerpiece, and you might not remember that the second inaugural address was on the wall, but you will remember that there is a statue there at the Lincoln Memorial, right? That's sort of hard to miss. It's the centerpiece. It's a very large, bigger than life statue of Lincoln sitting regally on a chair with his arms on the arms of the chair looking out over the National Mall. And the other thing I think about theologically when I go to the Lincoln Memorial, as much as I love the place and have affection for the memorial and its spirit and its history, is that this is a graven image. It's a graven image. Let's call it what it is. Yeah, it's one of many graven images that we have in our nation, all over the place, in cities and throughout our country. We will find graven images of people that we wish to honor for some reason or another. But I choose the Lincoln Memorial because I have affection for it, and I suspect many of you do. And I want to suggest that the making of graven images is not as alien to us as we might think as modern people. We have this tendency to think of idolatry as this other kind of thing that is just weird and strange, and why would people do it? And so the condemnations of idolatry to us that are in Scripture sound foreign from another kind of worldview. But I want to say that all people have this desire to make images, to make shrines that for us become bigger than life. Again, literally, Lincoln is bigger than life. That point to something bigger than ourselves, bigger than we are as individuals, and embody somehow the spirit of who we are as a people. So the making of a graven image and ascribing to it a certain kind of honor and reverence and respect is something that we do that's alive and well in our culture, in our society today, and maybe some of us will even participate in that kind of veneration. Is it wrong? Well, I'm not sure. But my point here is that it's not so distant from us as we might think. Now, the idols of ancient times, all the peoples who made idols, made them according to particular kinds of specifications. The idea is that you had to follow kind of a ritual of the making of the idol. It had to be done by certain craftsmen who were set apart. It had to take a certain kind of form. It had to be made up of certain kinds of materials. And then it had to be placed in a shrine. And the ancients knew, I mean, they weren't dumb. They knew that this was something that they made with their hands, that they crafted, but they also believed that somehow the spirit of the divinity being honored was present in the idol. The idol represented the god whose image was present. And this god could take different kinds of forms. I mean, certain things, accoutrements, were associated with that particular god, a spear or a hammer or what have you, certain kinds of clothing, to identify which particular god it was. But it could take different kinds of forms, but they were almost always anthropomorphic. I was asking somebody, and I'm really curious, ¿cómo se dice anthropomorphic en español? Anybody know? Who can tell me? I made sure to give Yolo, who's translating that word, yesterday. Anthropomorphic, that means they bore resemblance to human beings. They look like human beings. They might be a mix of an animal and a person, but they bore resemblance to human beings. They were anthropomorphic, and they took on, in their characteristics and how they were described, they took on human characteristics. Now, sometimes they were animals, but they were anthropomorphized animals in terms of their behavior. They behaved like human beings. The great story of idol worship that captured my imagination as a young person is the story of the golden calf. Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, the second of which says, "You shall not make a what?" Graven image. And what are the people doing at the foot of the mountain? Making a graven image. It's a golden calf. And as a child, this was so bizarre. How could these people be so dumb as to make a golden calf and to say, "Hear, O Israel, is your golden calf who brought you out of Egypt." Like, weren't they paying attention? That's ridiculous. But I want to... And that's why I started with Lincoln. I want to backtrack a little bit and look at what's going on here. The peoples, like us, are hungry for a sense of transcendence. They want to be near it. They want to be able to touch it, to see it. They want it to shine and shimmer with gold. They want to identify with it and see themselves in it. This is a part of our story. And a God that you cannot see and cannot touch can't do that, can't be that. And if you'll notice in the text, it is unclear which God this golden calf is supposed to be. It's quite possible that it is supposed to be the God of Israel. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the people believe that God's Spirit, the God's Spirit, resided in the golden calf. And the other piece of this is it's what they knew. All the peoples around them were idolatrous. They believed in idols. And so to make an idol and ascribe to it these characteristics was a normal thing to do. What could possibly be wrong about that? Everybody does it. It's what's done. I want to shift a little bit to talk about a different kind of idolatry, maybe a little bit closer to home. Because we want to experience the nearness of God, we have developed ways to talk about God using poetic language, using similes and metaphors and analogies. We say, for example, the Lord is my... Is God a shepherd? Of course not. It's a metaphor. We experience God as shepherd. It's one of the ways we experience God as shepherd. I will say, my dog Shelby, some of you have met my dog Shelby. She's not Josh, the other one, Shelby, the black one. She's sweet. She is as sweet as can be. She's a sweetie. She is. Those of you who've met her know that she's very sweet and loving, and she just loves people. But if I were to lick her, expecting her to be sweet, I would be very disappointed. I know that Shelby is not literally sweet. I know when I say she's a sweetie, I'm using a metaphor. We use them every day to describe our experience. It's when I believe that Shelby is literally sweet that I have a problem. If I were to believe that I would lick Shelby and find her to be sweet as honey, you would say, Pastor, you've got a problem. Let's talk a little bit. And in the same sense, God is not a mother hen who gathers her brood under her wings. But God is like that. It's a metaphor. The problem that we have is that we have mistaken the metaphor for God. We've done the very thing I've said about my dog Shelby. We've come to believe that God is this. God is a father. God is a shepherd. God is literally a mother hen. No. These are ways that we express our experience of God, just like I experience Shelby is very sweet, but she's not sweet at all, really, literally. It's poetic language that we use to describe how God is near to us. And my point is this. When we use this metaphorical language, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes when we mistake God for the actual metaphor that we're using, we become idolatrous. In our desire to be near to God and to partake in God's transcendence, we become idolatrous. We engage in the same kind of practice that the Israelites engaged in when they made the golden calf. There's a prayer that Christians have been saying daily for centuries. Sorry about that. That addresses God with this language: God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed. I'm going to stop and unpack that a little bit. God, O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works does proceed. That is, everything that's good, a good action, a loving action, every desire that's holy, every act that's just, comes from God, has its source in God. I want you to hang on to that. Because if that's correct, and as Christians we believe it is correct, then God is not so much good, but goodness itself. God is not so much loving or more loving, but love itself. God is not so much true, but truth itself, from which all truth emerges. God is not so much beautiful or beauty, but beauty. God is beauty itself, from which all beauty has its source. This is very, very different kind of language, and I want to suggest that anything else than that confession is in some way idolatrous. The prophets, the Hebrew prophets, were the ones who insisted most clearly in distinguishing between God and gods, who said God is not a god. That God, the God of the Hebrews, the God who made heaven and earth, is in a different category altogether. I'm unpacking this, and I don't understand it linguistically, but we say one of a kind. Right? Boy, he's one of a kind, or boy, she's one of a kind. And we mean there's no comparison. And in a sense, we mean the opposite of that, right? One of a kind means one of many. And in fact, what we're trying to say is that one is incomparable. And that's what the prophets are saying about God. God is incomparable. To what can we compare God with? Nothing. God is incomparable. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God is one. Incomparable. None other. Yet the prophets are also clear, and the Apostle Paul is clear in Acts 17 and said that even so, even this God who does not live in temples made by human hands, even this God is near to each one of us. But how? If God is so incomparable, if God is so different, if God is so other than us, how do we know God? How do we experience God? I want to suggest to us that we have what Bruce Colburn calls, the singer-songwriter who is here on campus, just a few hundred yards away, a couple weeks ago, rumors of glory. Our world, this room, is filled with rumors of God's glory. When we see the beauty of the sky, the song that we sang just moments ago, the beauty of the sky and the each leaf and the colors and that bird that's just flying around under the eaves right there, wings flapping. I planned that, you know, that bird flying just there. All of these things to us express God's nearness to us. And when each of us does something loving and caring and kind and compassionate, and each of us behaves in a just and righteous way, we are partaking in God's life, and we are bringing God near to each other. Rumors of glory. But there's more. We say prayers, we repeat prayers as a church. The Lord's Prayer or other prayers we repeat over and over again. And one of the reasons we repeat them is because they teach something to us. We pay attention to them and we learn things from them. And in our usual communion prayer that we have, we acknowledge that God is creator of all things and that we have received God's gift of creation, yet we have turned aside from those gifts and abused them, and God reaches out to us with a new gift, crowning gift in the language of our prayer. That gift is, if you've been listening, the crowning gift, God's crowning gift is Jesus. Jesus, God with us. We have this burning desire in us as human beings to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to touch God, to be near to God. And it is Jesus that God sends to come to be with us, to be near to us, to touch us, each one of us. The one who was in the beginning with God, the one through whom all things came into being, became flesh and dwelt here among us and is present with us in this place. Amen.
Our hymn, number 70 in the Blue Hymnal of Worship book, extends this sermon by saying more about the nature and the character of God. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Number 70.
Oh, my God. My name is Becky Horst, and I'm here on behalf of our church board. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'd like to invite all of our pastoral team to please come to the center circle and sort of form a line in front of me. I'm going to introduce them briefly, then I'm going to call forward board and commission members and anyone else who would like to join them in the circle for a prayer blessing. Could I have the slide, please? We currently have 6 members of our pastoral team. There's still 2 missing. Oh, here they're coming. Okay, great. 2 of them are full-time. Phil Waite is our pastoral team leader and leads in administration and worship ministry, and Pamela Yoder leads in community life ministry. And then we have 4 part-time pastors. Daniel Yoder leads in youth and family ministry. Talasha Kime Yoder leads in family and discipling ministry. And David and Madeline Maldonado, who Madeline's on her way here. David is probably busy organizing the second hour of Spanish worship service. David and Madeline lead in outreach ministry. Many of you signed up to give particular tokens of appreciation to pastoral team members this month. It's not too late to still express your thanks. Now, board members and commission members, would you please come forward and surround the pastoral team and anyone who works closely with one of these pastors in ministry here at CMC. Come and surround them and lay hands on them. And everyone else who is in the audience, and if you're listening by radio or watching on live stream, you can stretch out your hand toward this center circle as I pray for them. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the leadership gifts and faithfulness you have given to each of our pastors. We have called these leaders to point us toward your priorities for the world, to encourage us and challenge us as we try to follow Jesus. We confess that we have sometimes taken our pastors for granted. Sometimes we have expected perfection. Sometimes we have forgotten to pray for them. Forgive us. We want to be your people. We want to walk in your ways. And now we ask you, God, to bless these pastors of College Mennonite Church. Bless Phil and Pamela and Talasha and Daniel and Madeline and David. Empower them each day with your Holy Spirit. Wrap them in wisdom and courage as they lead our congregation in Jesus' way of love, peace, and joy, so that your healing and hope and justice flow through us to the world. And all the people together said, Amen. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of the pastoral team and the staff, I want to say thank you as well for your prayers, for your encouraging cards and emails and conversations, and for sharing with us the ministry of the church. You make this pastoral calling and the tasks that go along with it joyful and fruitful, so thank you. So now, out of all of our gratitude to God for all of this, we offer our time and our work and our possessions and our talents to God. And we do that now through our offering. So if you have an offering to give, I invite you to bring that forward to the baskets that are up here. If you need assistance, look for an usher or a child nearby. Invite them to bring it up for you. And please sign and pass the friendship booklets that are at the end of your rows. Let's worship God together with our offering.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, in your goodness and in your love, you have created all things. We thank you for the beauty around us. We thank you for all that sustains us, even in this moment. We thank you that you are near. And we thank you that even as we have turned away from your gifts, you have sent us Jesus, your crowning gift. And our hearts cry out in thanks that where we are present, Jesus is present with us. We ask that these gifts that we return to you be used for your holy purposes, your good purposes, your just purposes. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song is How Can We Be Silent? Number 61 in the Green Sing the Journey book. And we're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5.
God has firmly established the world towards justice, and we have the joyful privilege of joining God's work in the world. So, go from here today rejoicing, because God is God. Greet those around you with the peace of Christ now, and go in peace. Amen.